All comments, views, and opinions expressed during the following program do not reflect the views of this station. All topics discussed are meant for educational purposes only. Talk with your doctor before starting any new treatments. Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned to find out how you can open your mind to new possibilities in life.
Good evening and welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist from Los Angeles. And each week we talk about various issues dealing with mental health and behaviors. I tend to take a more holistic approach, which is body, mind, and spirit, in the work that I do in my own life and how I work with my clients. And that's usually the approach that we take on the show here also. This is a live show. It's a call-in show. And if you're interested in calling in, tonight's topic is cyber sex addiction. Is it a real addiction or a cop-out? And the toll-free number is 1-866-277-5369. 866-277-5369. And in the Phoenix area, it's 602-277-KFNX. So feel free to call in if tonight's topic stimulates you. And I'm going to start actually by talking about a flyer. As a therapist, we get announcements about workshops all the time. I mean, you talk about being inundated with junk mail and everything else, and a lot of this isn't necessarily junk mail, but mostly unsolicited. And before I moved to L.A. in 1986, I received a flyer. I was living in West Palm Beach, Florida, and I received a flyer about a workshop that was going to take place over a weekend in Atlanta by this PhD named Patrick Carnes, and the topic was sex addiction. Now, in 1985-86, this was not a phrase that was used very often, and yet when I heard it, it really resonated. Not just my own experience and, you know, the gay world, but a lot of friends, a lot of things that I see. It just was something that I felt, a workshop I felt I needed to go to. And I didn't often go to things that distance and that far out of town, but I went. And Dr. Carnes, at that point, I believe, wrote the very first book. It was called The Sexual Addiction then. It's now called Out of the Shadows. And he's one of the first and premier experts in the area of sex addiction. I'll be referring to Dr. Carnes a lot, but even more closely related to the topic tonight, a friend of mine here in Los Angeles, a clinical social worker named Robert Weiss, and a colleague of his in Tucson, actually, a Dr. Jennifer Schneider, an MD, recently published a book called Cyber Sex Exposed, Simple Fantasy or Obsession. And while we're going to talk a little bit about sex addiction in general tonight, I'm really going to talk more about what I think is an extremely relevant issue for many people, especially with the number of computers and the amount of porn online and chat rooms and so many other things that people are exploring today. I'm going to be referring to this book. Unfortunately, Rob Weiss actually runs a group every Thursday night and couldn't turn things around to be here. He founded a recovery program here. It's an outpatient program for sex addiction called the Sexual Recovery Institute in Los Angeles. And they do outpatient work, groups and other supports for families and people who identify as sex addicts. And it's actually a very credible and very well-put-together program here in Los Angeles. So I'm going to be referring both to Dr. Carnes tonight and Out of the Shadows, and Jennifer Schneider and Robert Weiss in their book Cyber Sex Exposed. I will not be having a guest on tonight because I couldn't get anybody whose schedule met this who I felt had the expertise to talk about it, and I felt since I do a lot of work in this arena, I figured I could carry the show myself, so please, if feel free to call in with questions or comments, or if this issue strikes very close to home and you feel like talking about it, know that that's going to be very respected. They're all ways of defining addiction. And one way, actually, that I use, and I'm actually going to read it out of Cybersex Exposed because it's a very common way to describe it. All addictions, whether to alcohol, drugs, gambling, or online sexual addiction, are characterized by the following three elements, all of which must be present in order to define the problem as an addiction. Number one, loss of control over the behavior. For example, drinking, eating, or surfing the net. The behavior has become compulsive and the person has lost the ability to stop when he or she wishes. Number two, continuation despite adverse consequences. These may include relationship problems, job loss, health problems, or legal concerns. Number three, preoccupation or obsession. Spending large amounts of time thinking about the activity or being actively involved in it. And it's a way of defining addiction, and to me addresses the issues that seem to come up, whether something that's not substance-related is really an addiction. And I think if you use that definition, it clearly is. And people seem to not be aware that when a behavior is activated, whether it's sex or gambling or eating, there is a chemical that is being activated. There's an adrenaline rush. There are hormones, things that start activating within the body that act just as alcohol or cocaine or crystal or anything else may act to someone who's actually using a substance. And so, to me, a behavior clearly can be defined as an addiction, partly because of the chemical reaction, partly because of those three items that I just read. There are all sorts of extremes that sex addiction in general can lead to. Some people find, another way of defining addiction also is that it tends to be progressive. You know, the drinking may be a problem, but it's been able to be kept a secret. But little by little, it's more and more noticeable until it's totally out of control. It's the same thing with sex. You know, it could be something done very secretly and in private, like watching porn or looking at magazines, looking on the internet, which is usually a very private thing, lying to get away to go to prostitutes or seeking one-night stands, all this sort of stuff. But over time, for an addict, it starts increasing and consuming one's life. And the amount of shame involved for most sex addicts, as well as other addicts, becomes intense. And I'm going to read something from that I actually got off of the internet. It's a news article from June 29th from Dedham, Massachusetts. After days of deliberation, a doctor accused of killing his wife in a wooded park in suburban Boston was found guilty of first-degree murder on Friday. During the trial, prosecutors presented evidence of what they called the allergist's secret life, including his frequent trysts with call girls and visits to internet porn sites. Prosecutors said the doctors killed his 58-year-old wife because he was afraid she would expose his secret life of prostitutes, pornography, and phone sex. And later on in the article, the trial dragged on for weeks. Prosecutors called a prostitute that he frequently met with, operators of adult websites, and witnesses who described heated emails from the doctor soliciting group sex and nude photos. Obviously, murdering one's wife for the shame and the guilt to keep secret, especially when you're a public figure, especially when you're a well-respected person in the community. Think back just a few years ago. You know, unfortunately, the headlines today are filled with terrorism, but just a few years ago, you know, we had President Clinton in the White House, and if you think about the behaviors, you know, I'm not here to diagnose somebody else, but, you know, the behaviors of the sexual activity, the infidelities, the lying about it, the covering it up, a powerful man, needing whatever reinforcement he was needing, being out of control, it happening on many occasions, the risk-taking, all that stuff so clearly fits the pattern. And it always comes out in the wash sooner or later. So as we're dealing with this issue of sex addiction in general, there are common characteristics that most sex addicts seem to have in common. This is actually some 12-step material from Sexual Compulsives Anonymous. There are actually many groups, SCA being one of them. There's Sex Addicts Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous, there's just a number of them, Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. But there are 14 common characteristics that this particular 12-step group put together. Number one is adolescence. We use fantasy and compulsive masturbation to avoid feelings and continued this tendency into our adult lives with compulsive sex. Number two, compulsive sex became a drug, which we used to escape from feelings such as anxiety, loneliness, anger, and self-hatred, as well as joy. Number three, we tended to become immobilized by romantic obsessions. We became addicted to the search for sex and love. As a result, we neglected our lives. Number four, we sought oblivion in fantasy and masturbation and lost ourselves in compulsive sex. Sex became a reward, a punishment, a distraction, and time killer. Number five, because of our low self-esteem, we used sex to feel validated and complete. Number six, we tried to bring intensity and excitement into our lives through sex, but felt ourselves growing steadily emptier. Number seven, sex was compartmentalized instead of integrated into our lives as a healthy element. Number eight, we became addicted to people and were unable to distinguish among sex, love, and affection. Number nine, we searched for some magical quality in others to make us feel complete. Other people were idealized and endowed with a powerful symbolism, which often disappeared after we had sex with them. Number 10, we were drawn to people who were not available to us or who would reject or abuse us. Number 11, we feared relationships but continually searched for them. In a relationship, we feared abandonment and rejection, but out of one, we felt empty and incomplete. Number 12, while constantly seeking intimacy with another person, we found that the desperate quality of our need made true intimacy with anyone impossible, and we often developed unhealthy dependency relationships that eventually became unbearable. 13, even when we got the love of another person, it never seemed enough, and we were unable to stop lusting after others. 14, trying to conceal our dependency demands, we grew more isolated from ourselves, from God, and from the very people we longed to be close to. Common characteristics. And if any of you are in other 12-step programs, you could see how that translates into your use of those items, whether it's drugs or alcohol. Now, tonight, as we're laying the groundwork of what sexual compulsive behavior is or sex addiction is, this is to set up actually for the rest of the evening to talk about something that is more relevant than that in general, which is the use of the internet and cyber sex, and how it seems to be grabbing so many more people and why. And again, between the writings of Patrick Carnes as well as Jennifer Schneider and Rob Weiss in Cyber Sex Exposed, there is just a lot of information that I think a lot of you out there listening can relate to or know somebody. Maybe you're in a relationship with someone who seems to be losing themselves in the net. So I'm really hoping that many of you will be calling in and asking some questions or telling your story. There is there was an article in the L.A. Times. Actually, I don't have the date of the article, but it was in the L.A. Times by Kathleen Kelleher. And it's called Study Looks to the Hidden Public Health Hazard of Online Porn. And when we come back, After this break, I'll tell you what Kathleen said in her article, so please stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Trying to stay on top of your health can be a daunting task, to say the least. Sifting through the seemingly endless onslaught of ever-changing do's and don'ts can leave even the most sincere health enthusiast at the end of their rope. Well, now there's Health Focus, the free monthly health publication that puts the diversities of healthcare at your fingertips. Health Focus magazine covers issues ranging from staying hydrated in the Arizona heat and treating snake bites to proper diet and how your voice matters in the government. The publisher of Health Focus is actually a physician that scrutinizes all editorial for accuracy with a contemporary view of medicine. Also, every issue has a hospital directory complete with a map, so you always know where the closest facilities are in case of emergency. Health Focus magazine can be found at Walmart, Safeway, Bally's, or go to their website at health-focus.com.
Release your fears. Open your mind and heart. Join me, Pamela Edmonds, every Tuesday at 8 p.m. as I host Bridge Between Two Worlds. The focus of the show will be to release people's fears around communication with the spirit realm. Guests will include people knowledgeable of mediumship, transmediumship, and channeling. Receive the healing every Tuesday at 8 p.m. with Bridge Between Two Worlds on AM 1100 KFNX.
Talk to our expert hosts in the Phoenix area. Call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, marriage and family therapist, actually, from Los Angeles. I have a private practice here, as well as, speaking of sex addiction, I do something very unusual. I actually do counseling inside three of the gay bathhouses here in the Los Angeles area, Melrose Spa, 1350 Club in Wilmington, and Flex. I would say that, surprisingly enough, a lot of the guys will come in and talk to me and deal with some very serious issues, even in a setting like that. I think, actually, because there is no secrets there and the vulnerability that already exists actually allows me to have some very deep and profound first sessions with people there. And I'd say about 60% of the guys that come in to talk to me, the first question out of the mouth has to do with how do I know if I'm a sex addict, or why can't I stop coming here, or, you know, things like that. And, of course, it's not surprising, but what is surprising is how many are conscious of it and looking to do something about it. I was talking about the article by Kathleen Keller from the LA Times. Study looks at the hidden public health hazard of online porn. And a couple of things she said in there is, what turbocharges sexuality online is its accessibility, affordability, and anonymity. And that actually was a quote from a Dr. Cooper from the San Jose Marital and Sexuality Center. A person may be into adult movies, he continues, but they can't face the 17-year-old at the rental counter because they're too embarrassed. They may have had past sexual compulsivity, but on the internet, they can engage in extramarital affairs, virtual sex, and look at adult websites. They find it a nice, safe place. Some people call cybersex the crack cocaine equivalent. She goes on to say, cybersex compulsives, the majority of whom are men, spent more than 11 hours a week at online sex sites. The researchers found they had more problems with relationships and jobs than occasional visitors. Interestingly enough, most men choose online visual erotica. Most women who are addicted to it largely opted for chat rooms. In Cybersex Exposed by Rob Weiss and Dr. Jennifer Schneider, they break this down into the difference between the use of the use of the internet for porn and the level of addicted users, and they actually describe the difference between the two. And if you listen to the show last week, which I did on the porn industry, you know, there are people who are in the porn industry or who are sex workers who have actually a rather healthy attitude about who they are in the world and are very educated and, you know, are able to separate what they do for a living from who they are in the world, and part of being a sex worker for them is part of who they are in the world, and it's not affecting their self-esteem or things like that. And there are others in the industry that it really messes with their mind, and they're in there because their minds are already messed. The types of cybersex users, according to Schneider and Weiss, actually, they're quoting Dr. Cooper, too, divided into three types. Recreational or non-pathological users. These users are people who discover sex on the internet, find it interesting or fun, and get involved for short periods of time, but not to extremes. Ultimately, they find it a playful distraction, but not meaningful. The following is often true of this type of usage. Curiosity, novelty, education, or entertainment drive the online activity. Viewing is intermittent and occasional. Interest in cybersex is not sustained over time because of a lack of face-to-face interaction, the repetitive nature of the two-dimensional images, and the unreality of the activity. Then he goes on to talk about at-risk users. These users are people who are vulnerable to addictive distractions due to life stress or underlying unhappiness. They use the cybersex activity in addictive ways for periods of time as a means of coping, sometimes even to the point of having negative consequences. They will generally respond to the adverse consequences by adjusting or stopping their behaviors. Without the internet, they might not have developed the sexual addiction problem. Characteristics of at-risk users include the following: minimal history of sexually addictive behaviors or problematic sexual history. Some predisposition for dealing with emotional discomfort through sexual means or impulsive sexual behavior. Use of online sexual stimulation as a means of achieving distraction from sex or extremes of mood. Use of cybersex to escape the emotions of severe life stresses, such as the death in the family, financial problems, or the birth of the first child. And the use of cybersex to replace personal communication and support. And then they talk about the sexually addicted users. This is the third. These users are people who become hooked on cybersex regardless of the consequences. They feel compelled to engage in a computer-driven romantic or sexual activity to the detriment of their personal lives. They do not have the ability on their own to stop the addictive behavior patterns. Characteristics of sexually addictive users include the following: history of childhood abuse, trauma, or neglect, particularly if not acknowledged or understood. History of addictions in the family of origin. History of intimacy problems and relationship concerns. previously established patterns of using drugs, alcohol, or compulsive behaviors, possible history of anxiety, depression, or other emotional challenges, social or emotional isolation, and tendency to live a double life. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the net and consequences. So stay tuned.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Norma, let go of the sofa. It's time to go now.
Oh, Carola, I am having second thoughts.
Now we discussed this, Norma, so just let go of the curtains.
When you think of inviting a friend to church or synagogue, you probably imagine meeting some resistance.
Norma, let go of the emergency brake.
No, really, Carol. I think I changed my mind.
Please, the steering wheel, huh?
The more you worry about it, the more you imagine how difficult it will be.
Please, Norma, let go of the door.
Oh, I just can't go through with it.
But it's probably just your imagination, and your friend will actually thank you in the end.
Carol, the service was wonderful. I feel so good, I almost hate to leave.
Well, maybe we'll come back next week. Come on, Norma, let go of the pew.
If religion enriches your life, share the wealth. This week, invite a friend. A service of the Advertising Council and Religion in American Life.
Empower yourself. This is psychotherapist Molly Powers. Every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., I'll be hosting the Empower Hour for an in-depth look at psychology, relationships, constructive thinking, problem solving, and empowerment. Tune in and give yourself information you can use to become the positive, confident, and empowered person you are striving to be. Don't miss the Empower Hour with me, Molly Powers, right here on AM 1100 KFNX.
Here's your current KFNX weather forecast, heard at the top and bottom of every hour. Listening to Arizona's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique programming. 1100 KFNX, Renaissance Radio.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapy in Los Angeles. I actually do work with a lot of clients dealing with sex addiction. And not all of them are gay men. There are heterosexual men and women who I work with who are dealing with similar issues, whether it's cybersex, whether it's porn, whether it is prostitutes, massage, cruising, one-night stands, whatever the situation is, this is not just something that is about the gay community, although some people would have you want to think so. The interesting thing that I found is when dealing with recovery issues, and I know that there are a number of treatment programs in the Phoenix and Tucson area where this is going out over the radio, that there's often, for many people, a dual diagnosis, whether it is, you know, drugs and alcohol or food. And very often what people will find is they will clean up from the drugs, whether it's speed or cocaine or alcohol, whatever it might be. And they substitute, or they find that there are more basic behaviors that are driving their addiction or being driven by their addiction or their addictive mind. And it's not unusual for sex to be the foundation for many addicts as they clean up, and that their usage actually gives them, in some way, permission to be as sexual as they are. Or the only way they can be sexual is to use, or they're so ashamed and guilty about the thoughts they have sexually that they have to numb it with drugs or alcohol in order to act out on the fantasies or the drives that they have sexually. So not always, but often enough, when people start recovery from drugs and alcohol, for a long time, people, therapists and programs, weren't addressing the sexual behaviors. And a lot of them were using sex for the same purposes, for numbing, to distraction, for how they felt about themselves, and acting it out sexually. And very often I've seen it with a lot of my clients, it becomes a more difficult thing to stop and needs a tremendous amount of support. And programs like the Sexual Recovery Institute that Rob Weiss founded here in Los Angeles, I know The Meadows, Sierra Tucson, and others in the Phoenix-Tucson area, all of them find that they have to deal with this issue with many of their clients, whether it's just through education or whether they actually work directly with it. And it's very important, I think, not to ignore it. You know, in old times, you know, 10 or 20 years ago, if a guy was hypersexual, he was a stud. If a woman was a hypersexual, she was a slut. And today we see that it's just as destructive one way or the other for that hypersexual energy to be acted on. I have a number of clients, actually, who are heterosexual, who are in relationships, in marriages, and the net and the online porn and chat rooms and stuff become this place for them to escape. I have one woman that deals with it, and it's nearly blown her relationship apart, although it did help explain some things to her husband when he became aware of it. And a couple of guys, actually, that are using the net as their way of acting out and exploring certain behaviors that may be about men as opposed to women. And they may not act on it, but there is some kind of fantasy thing that they're playing out with that. So the net provides a number of things in these relationships. And one thing that, of course, it does is, because of its sense of secrecy, because it can be hidden, it's usually not found out. People just think they're on the internet doing research or writing emails or, you know, whatever it is that they may do professionally that makes it relevant to be on the internet. But they're really not doing that. I have another client who happens to be gay who works in a large corporation. And he spends an amazing number of hours at the office, but not getting work done. He's on porn sites and downloading photographs and all this sort of stuff. And this is something his lover is aware of, and they're both in recovery for other things. But it's just been a very hard road, and Somebody actually walked into his office to make a and saw something on the screen, made a complaint. I mean, his job's been close to being in jeopardy because of this behavior. And usually, you know, as we talk about hitting bottom, you know, losing one's job or, you know, a spouse leaving or, you know, getting arrested, those often are the bottoms for a sex addict, even with the internet. So what's the lure of the net? The lure, my New York accent came out there. The first thing is actually accessibility. It's convenient. There are thousands and thousands of sites to go to. Most people today have computers, whether at work, at home, laptops. It's just easily accessible. And the other part of it is, for most people, it's affordable. Chat rooms in many sites are free, whether it's AOL or whatever. It tends to be affordable until people start getting into sites where they have to pay hourly or monthly, and it's just like phone sex or prostitution and stuff. Part of it is when it starts progressing, the affordability seems to really take its toll because it's no longer affordable. As I mentioned before, there's anonymity involved in it. You can be whoever you want on the web. You can pretend to be whoever you want, look like whatever you want. You can be whatever you fantasize yourself wanting to be, and that's also often an indicator that an individual doesn't like who they are, trying to be someone else. There is somebody wanting to keep a sexual secret, bringing a pornographic magazine or a video home, you know, makes things more difficult. But keeping things on their computer or going on makes it more difficult. There's also a sense of safety that people find where they're not necessarily risking STDs or legal getting arrests or things like that. So there's also a sense, as is mentioned by Jennifer Schneider and Rob Weiss in Cybersex Exposed, there's a normalization, which I think is a good word to use for this. A lot of people can find almost anyone that has similar fantasies or similar fetishes or similar inclinations somewhere on the web, and all of a sudden they feel less alone and less insane or less shame-based because there are other people like them. Now, this doesn't necessarily bode well because it usually then activates and brings the behavior to a higher level because you now have cohorts, people supporting it, enabling it, and encouraging it. So those tend to be the things that attract people to it. The problem is that there are consequences. And any of you that are listening and relating to this, I think will understand and relate to what I'm about to talk about. Any kind of sexual activity can become obsessive and can be used in an addictive manner. But the accessibility, affordability, and anonymity of the internet make online sex a particularly enticing addictive experience. Compulsive use of online sex creates specific consequences that go beyond compulsive use of the internet in general. These problems affecting significant others, families, and children result specifically from the sexual content of the user's internet addiction. And this list, again, comes from Cybersex Exposed. These are the warning signs of internet addiction: isolation from dating, social interaction, and the potential to meet available romantic partners, meaning single people. People who are really using the internet in a compulsive and addictive way often stop dating. Their social skills, even if they were good at one point, become more difficult to express because, again, there's more shame. They're afraid of people going to find more out about them. A reduction of spousal intimacy, sexuality, and communication. Married people and those in committed relationships will often find this. The spouse of somebody who's spending more and more hours on the internet tend to feel like they know that they think that there is some kind of affair going on, that they feel abandoned, and the individual may never, ever meet someone in person, but there is an affair going on. The affair is in fantasy land of the internet, and that person is not available to the spouse, so it's the same as if they were going to a motel every night and sleeping with someone else. And when we come back, we'll go through the rest of the consequences here. And again, if this is challenging any of you, please feel free to call in and let's talk about what you're experiencing with this. So in a few minutes, we'll be right back and talk more about cyber sex addiction.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
Larry King here with some things you may not know about the healthy heart supplement Garleek. I didn't say garlic, I said Garleek. Garleek's a world leader in product potency, and since garlic has been clinically shown to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, for me that makes Garleek dietary supplement the one to trust. Just one tablet daily. Garleek's unique freeze-dried method traps the power of garlic in a natural odor-free tablet. Help keep your heart healthy with Garleek, as in unique. Garleek, cholesterol's natural enemy.
Waking Up in America is a radio magazine heard exclusively on KFNX every Monday at 8 a.m. We, the editors and guests, celebrate causing powerful and playful planetary conversations that make a difference. Waking Up in America rocks with great ideas, information, fabulous relationships, and progressively provocative interviews. This is one program you don't want to miss. So please, join us every Monday at 8 a.m. for an hour of fun, information, and inquiry.
Now available on CD, Soul Food Wingmakers. Order direct, soulfoodmusic.com, or call 1-877-305-3415. That's 1-877-305-3415. soulfoodmusic.com.
Talk to our expert hosts in the Phoenix area. Call 602-277-KFNX. Outside the Phoenix area, call toll-free 866-277-KFNX.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altschuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Los Angeles, and this is Tell the Truth Faster, and tonight we're talking about cyber sex addiction, real addiction or cop-out. And I know there are some of you out there that are knowing that what we're talking about tonight is about you, and maybe you're having difficulty telling the truth about it. And I'm going to talk about a few minutes more about the consequences of all of this, and you might relate to more of that. Then I'm going to talk about the concept of actually getting treatment and the approach that it entails. We talked about the issue of the spouses and what happens when people are in a committed relationship and how they start disappearing as if they're having affairs, and they are having affairs. They're having fantasy affairs that sometimes turn into realities where they may end up meeting people. There's an increased guilt and shame about covering up the cybersex activities, which also means the need to withdraw more because there's a difficulty looking your loved ones in the eye. Repeated lies and justification about online sexual activities and repeated promises to stop or change. That may be repeated promises to people who know about it or just to yourself or to God. Mistrust and betrayal. Potential job loss. More likely for cybersex activities at work than for non-sexual workplace online use. But my experience with clients is that even the cybersex addiction, which keeps people up through the night, causing them to miss work or be less productive on work, even if they're not doing it on the computer at work, it has its impact. Contracting a sexually transmitted disease from real-life physical contacts with cybersex partners and risking infecting a spouse or partner or other anonymous partners. Loss of self-esteem and self-worth by spouses, partners, trying to measure up to a fantasy online lover. I mean, think about that. If your spouse knows this is going on, there is no way they feel that they can compete with whatever fantasy world you're living in online. Children are exposed to pornography when they accidentally step into the room when a parent is involved in cybersex activities or when they later find pornography on the computer that they might be using also. The other problem, if there are children involved in one's life, is that they tend to be ignored or emotionally neglected because of the parents' obsession, that they don't have as much time for the kids and because they're engaging so much time online sex. So these are consequences, obviously, you could see will take its toll. And as we talk about holistic issues, when this much stress is going on, of course, this is also going to take its toll physically on one's health and well-being, hygiene, and lots of other things. So as we're nearing the end of tonight's show, I want to talk actually about solution. We talked a lot about what is cybersex addiction. We talked a lot about the consequences of it. But I also believe in moving into solution. I mentioned 12-step programs, Sexual Compulsives Anonymous, Sex Addicts Anonymous, Sexaholics Anonymous. There's probably about five or six others, depending geographically where you are or the general focus. Some of them deal with SCA, tends to have more gay men and women in the program, although not exclusively. SAA tends to be, from my experience with clients attending, a little bit more of both. Some tend to be, depending on geographically where you are, maybe more heterosexually oriented. The idea with any 12-step group or program is to get to as many different meetings as you can until you find one that feels like home, one that feels comfortable, one with people that you relate to and that you can start sharing in. Of course, I believe that the 12-step programs can work miracles for people who really want to work those miracles for themselves, but I also believe that they can also complement greatly with individual and or group psychotherapy. 12-step programs are not therapy. They're not group therapy. They're support systems. They're a structured approach to helping people change their thinking and way of life. Now, that may be also a definition of psychotherapy, but it's done in a different fashion, and it's not with a professional. And I think and feel real strongly that the two work very well together. Most of my clients that are in recovery are also going to 12-step programs, as well as seeing me individually or doing group therapy. And I think that's very important. Again, especially with sex addiction and cybersex addiction, it's important to find a therapist that really knows and understands the impact that sex addiction is, somebody who really is working with it. I think that's important. Nurturing tasks for the individual, learning how to step away from the computer and find things that really nurture oneself. Make a list of your non-sexual friendships that have been probably neglected during most of the downslide into the computer. Make amends, make apologies, tell the truth to these individuals about it, and ask for some support, and ask to just to spend some time. Meditation, exercise, avoiding overwhelm, and most people tend to, again, this is from Cybersex Exposed, On the Road to Recovery. When we come back, we're going to talk very briefly about the final items here, and especially the concept of how our lives get so overwhelming. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tell the truth faster. We'll be right back after this station break.
Stuart Altschuler, a licensed practicing psychotherapist since 1974, wants to let you know about his website at www.tellthetruthfaster.com. You will find the resources you need in these areas: self-empowerment, positive thinking, attention deficit disorder, individual and group HIV/AIDS counseling, addictions and compulsive behavior, intimacy and relationships. Get the information you need on these topics and more. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com. There's even a place to email Stuart with your questions, comments, and requests for information regarding his work. At www.tellthetruthfaster.com, you can find additional links for groups, organizations, and websites dedicated to help you identify and heal the issues you are experiencing. Visit www.tellthetruthfaster.com today.
7 out of 10 dogs turned into the animal shelter are there because the owner simply did not understand how to change an unwanted behavior. 8 out of 10 will be euthanized. Unnecessary death to a wonderful companion. If yelling no, shouting and hitting and scolding worked, those 7 out of 10 dogs would not end up a sad and forgotten statistic. If you would like your animal companion to be well behaved, and if you would like to know how to get full cooperation from any animal, then Animal Coaching, hosted by world famous animal trainer Maureen Hall, is for you. Tune in every Thursday morning, 6 to 7 a.m., right here on AM 1100 KFNX.
Did you know there's a system of healing that's 5,000 years old, whose principles and therapies are just as relevant today? Tune in to KFNX for Feel Great with Dr. Harold Bloomfield. Learn more about Ayurveda for health and longevity. You'll hear from doctors and individuals who have made Ayurveda a part of their lives and how it has made a difference for them. Ayurveda can empower you to take charge of your health and well-being. Find out how on Feel Great with Dr. Harold Bloomfield every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. only on AM 1100 KFNX.
You're listening to Arizona's Talk Alternative, offering the most unique program. 1100 KFNX, Renaissance Radio.
Tell the Truth Faster is back. Here's Stuart Altschuler.
Welcome back to the final minutes of tonight's show on cybersex addiction. And again, this is Stuart Altschuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I want to quickly talk about the issue of overwhelm. And the solution to overwhelm is usually to set appropriate priorities and boundaries for work, commitment, self-care, and personal relationships. Now, of course, an addict doesn't necessarily have the tools to do that. And that's where a good therapist comes in, the right books, the right 12-step meetings, all that stuff. Most of this is about learning new behaviors. Most of this is about letting go, surrendering to the addiction, surrendering your attempt to try and control it, and surrender to things that are really of a higher power, things that can really help heal. Spending time in nature with pets, developing hobbies, learning the tools for healthy dating, and that includes dates with your spouse, you know, gay or straight, creating a home at home like we've talked about in one of my other shows. There's a lot of things that are all part of the same process of growth and change. And to me, no matter what the issue is, the solutions are almost always the same. Learn how to love yourself more. Learn to get in touch with your own higher essence, your own soul energy, the light within you that even you may think doesn't even exist, but it's there. It is always there. It's the energy that keeps us alive and keeps us going. and there's peace in learning how to reconnect with it. There are a lot of ways to kind of find more information about all this. One is you can go to tellthetruthfaster.com. There's actually a hyperlink there to the Sexual Recovery Institute under the name of Alex Katarakis, who is one of the staff members there, who I know. And her bio and information is there. There is a website for Sexual Compulsives Anonymous, which is sca-recovery.org. And a lot of the lists that I read, I got off that website. There's a sexual compulsivity quiz. You'll also find a very good checklist for the issue of cybersex addiction, and that you'll find on sexualrecovery.com, which is Rob Weiss's and Alex Katarakis's website. And if you're trying to find Jennifer Schneider in Tucson, she has a website also, which is jennifer-schneider.com. And I think it's important. Pick up the phone, talk to people. A copy of Cybersex Exposed would be very helpful if this is what you have, or Out of the Closets if it's other sexual addiction by Patrick Carnes, I think is very important. If you have some questions, feel free to email me on my website. Be glad to give you some more thoughts and some support there. I want to thank those of you that have been listening regularly, and thank you for the emails. And next week, the show is going to be about Earth Angels. The show really is going to be about the issue of how service and volunteerism is so important in our lives, the positive effects it has on mind and body, and how volunteering one's time altruistically, being of service, really assists us in our health, physical health, as well as mental and emotional health, as well as being more connected with that light energy that I call Earth Angels, those of us that are on the planet that really understand service, and so many of them are children that we overlook, who are doing some incredible, wonderful things. So please tune in next week when we're dealing with service and volunteerism and Earth Angels. Thank you for listening. This is Stuart Altshuler from Los Angeles. Good night.
Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, is broadcast live every week at the same time. Thank you for listening. Logan.